Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Good for Construction, a podcast dedicated to architects and architecture in India. And I'm your host, Isha Bajaj. In season one, we talk to architects across India who are now successfully running their own enterprises and companies. We talk to them about their journeys of the transition from architecture school to getting a job and finally starting their own business. And today in studio, we have Salanki, Sameeksha and Vishnu from Unorthodox Design. To give our listeners a little context, Unorthodox Design is an independently owned studio founded by three young and passionate creators who believe in translating happiness into spaces. Specializing in different mediums of architecture and design, their portfolio ranges from high-end hospitality spaces, commercial outlets, and luxurious residences. The founders, Salanki, Sameeksha, and Vishnu, are all graduates from Sushant School of Art and Architecture, Gurgaon. So, hello guys. Welcome to Good for Construction.
Thank you so much for calling us in.
We have Sameeksha, Salanki and Vishnu in studio today from Unorthodox Design. So let's start by talking about what Unorthodox Design is all about and what your firm specializes in and what your philosophy is.
Unorthodox Design was formed 2.5 plus years before and we actually are one-stop shop. We do interiors, execution, architecture, branding, furniture execution, everything. And we really enjoy doing that because we studied architecture and it was a very broad field. And then we sort of came down to this. Yeah, we experiment a lot. We try to be very fresh with our designs.
Mm.
And so we've done around 27 projects till now.
That's insane. 2.5 years, 27 projects is crazy.
That's why we said that it's been 2.5 plus years. And I've done a project every month till now.
It's crazy. It's like the number of months is equivalent to the number of projects you all have done.
The reason we did not have time for social media marketing stuff like that because we were so
busy increasing the number of projects that we had to ever do.
And you know, sometimes you have to like hold back and see, okay, things are really going fast. You have to like take a step back and look at how it's all going. You have to reanalyze your approach, your mindset, your design sense and everything. So now I think we've started doing that too.
Yeah, now we want to have a social media page.
And have a presence out there.
Yeah.
It's very important.
We didn't even have an office space till now. We really did not have the time. Now we've set up an office space.
That's crazy. How were you? Where were you guys?
Till now we had been traveling all over India, doing projects, staying at everyone's place with our laptops, doing in work.
Cafes, co-work spaces.
Co-working
space. My flat.
Your flat.
Yeah, her flat. Majorly her flat.
Yeah.
Her apartment. But yeah.
Let's talk about when Unorthodox was born, like this venture. How did it start? Where did it start? Which year did it start?
I think it was in 2015. We were working before in a job also. Me and Sameeksha were working together.
Achha, for how long?
For 1 year. Two years.
Yeah.
So after graduation, you all worked for 2 years.
No, after graduation, we went on our separate paths.
Okay.
She was in Auroville.
Yeah.
I was here working in R plus D studio with Shikha and Sridhar.
Acha.
So in R plus D, Vishnu and Sameeksha were working
together. Yeah, there we worked together. So at some point of time, all three of us have worked
together.
At some point.
So knowing each other very well was one thing.
Even in college, like we used to do our group projects together.
That's what I was gonna ask. Did you guys at one point like were you all together in a group for some kind of duty
in college?
Since Sameeksha is from Dhanbad, she's always had a flat. Yeah. So we used to, even if we were not in same groups to work with, we were always at her flat
like
working
on the. We always wanted to be in the same group. Like we always took that initiative. that we take that step so we that kind of come with back to the same group.
Same group, yeah.
And get our stuff done better.
I think that's a tendency.
That it's fun working.
You find your people and you find your comfort zone of working with these people.
Yeah.
So it was like that for us. And because I was in a flat and we had flatmates, so their groups were also there. So my flat was always very crowded.
Party.
Always.
During group works, there were around 20 people in the house. There were a flat of 3 people.
Walking over each other's sheet.
Yeah.
I remember her telling that I need my own alone time now. So you guys should be just leaving my flat. We needed reasons to be away from our home to be at her flat.
Yeah.
And she needed reasons to be...
away from me.
So I love going to their places.
Yeah, I mean, I remember even in like my flat, we were 3 girls and you know, people would just pop over and like unrelated people would just come over. Can you please come to your flat? I was like, fine, man, whatever. You know?
Yeah.
And I remember like after the jury, we had like a fairly large living space and there was no furniture in that space.
Okay.
And by the end, by the time semester ended and we had given our final juries, we couldn't see the floor. Like it was so covered in thermocol and sheets and like you couldn't go from one end to the other end. It was like that packed.
I remember sleeping on the table and taking pictures of me.
Oh my God. And with sheets as blankets.
Oh,
all our rejected work used to end up being our blankets. And
our that's crazy. So, guys, for reference, I didn't mention this. Vishnu, Sameeksha and Solanki are my seniors from college. That's Sushant School of Art and Architecture. All right, now that we have that out of the way, because I've been told that, listen, please make it clear because you end up having a lot of inside jokes from college. So we don't understand how you know these guys. So.
But I think every person who studied architecture would relate to this.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
it's
the same all over the world.
True. So let's now move on to when you guys decided to start off.
Yeah, so it was 2015. We were working at the Bombay airport. We were executing restaurants there.
It was
part of the job.
Acha.
And we were just driving back home.
Huh.
And we were just thinking about our entire experience.
Hmm.
Actually, there also, we were just thrown at the site. We were literally just 2 girls amongst, I think, 5,000 men.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was
God.
The... side of the airport which wasn't accessible, the entire non-operational, that was the non-operational side.
Okay.
And there were no women there were no such facilities.
Oh.
And there were like everyone, like they were all just men.
Hmm.
And we and our boss used to come there maybe
twice
a month, not more than that.
Hmm.
And we were handling the entire, all the projects alone there.
Hmm.
And we were handling the labors, we were handling the vendors, we were handling all the officials, the rules and regulations, everything.
Yeah.
So that's what we were talking about.
Absolutely.
And our journey before that also.
Hmm.
Like, luckily we had very good exposure with our previous jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was in Oroville, I had a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
They were working in R+D. That is a great company. And during internship also, they were handling projects on their own.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen with
everyone.
Yeah,
so that doesn't happen.
We realized that this is something that we could do. We have been doing this alone.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we were in a job, we were doing all of it all by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The bills, client interaction, everything.
Yeah.
So that's when we thought
end to end, you guys were, you individually,
yeah.
you guys had that experience wherever you guys were working,
yeah.
of doing an end to end from clients
exactly.
to
yeah.
site execution.
Everything.
I mean, I would say that it was our luck that all our bosses actually gave us those kind of projects.
They trusted us.
We've had great bosses and
great
experience.
Yeah.
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 We have to give it to them.
Yeah.
And it's so important.
Ah.
It's so important to get that exposure for everyone. We wish for everyone to get such people. And
it also builds on your confidence.
It
does.
Yeah, it does.
But you know, coming out of the comfort of a salary...
Thank God I got the least number of toilet details till now.
I've only done 2 toilet details maximum during my internship, which is like, I've seen people doing like 50-50 toilet details.
Yeah.
They keep doing toilet details
I've
in internship.
I've hardly ever done toilet details, okay.
Here you are. You've done how many?
I think I also did around 2 or 3 toilet decks maximum.
Maximum.
Huh. Because that was one reason, like, they actually gave us like a whole project, like to make a whole design by yourself. Mm. Like, we were the initiators of a whole project.
In our studio, I was handling this entire school in Dubai.
Wow.
And one here in Noida. And it's great how our bosses always gave us the opportunity to design as well as make the technical drawings. Mm. Because you, as an intern, you don't get the opportunity to design.
You don't.
And with them, so this happens when you work in a closed, small environment and with startups and with small companies.
Mm-hmm.
So we've always worked with small companies.
You grow faster.
You grow, you definitely grow fast because you make more mistakes and then, you know.
Yeah. And you have your first-hand experience, right? Huh. You are working directly under the boss. You're working directly under the clients. Yeah. You have that first-hand client handling
it
experience.
Can't get more real than that.
Yes. And we've always worked in small firms,
We have always worked in small firms. I had never had that thing that I had to go to a very big firm, knowing to go to a very big name. Mm. All I ever wanted was to just like work directly with clients, directly with the boss, and making sure that I do everything that they have ever asked for.
That's true. That's why we were learning so much from the clients, vendors, labors, contractors, that we just learned quickly.
All our technical knowledge came from the vendors on site and the labors.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes. All of it.
I think what we are today is half of because of the vendors only. Like direct site experiences, that is one big thing that you would ever get.
They teach you a lot. So, that's when we thought about it. But then coming out of that comfort zone, the salary comfort zone, it took more than a year.
Yeah.
Especially for somebody like me who lives away from the family.
Yeah.
I have bills coming in like clockwork every month.
Yeah.
And for me, it gave me so much anxiety to get out of that comfort.
Obviously.
But this was something I've always wanted to do. And I was like, okay, I'll take that leap of faith. I'll just jump and do it. And we did it. And actually, we never looked back, touch wood, after that.
That's
been great.
So individually, let's take this individually. When did you guys feel as individuals that, you know what? Someday I will have my own work. I will have my own business. Because I feel that a lot of like people think that, you know, doing a job and growing in that job is a safer bet. And it's a safer, you know, growth trajectory to follow than to start their own business. So did you always think that you would have your own business, or when did this thought come?
Actually, I always thought that I would always be doing a job. I never thought that I'd have my own company. But then we were discussing this. The first person we went to was our boss. And we started discussing this in detail with her.
Achha.
And you know, she was talking, she wanted us not to leave, obviously.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
She was telling us, how will you handle, there's a lot of work, there's a lot of things that you still don't know about it. You're still young. And
she told me, how will you handle your rent? How will you give your...
So practical concerns, she was
and
voicing.
And that's how her anxiety
concerns
actually, you know, built in.
And at one point I was like, no, it can't happen. I don't think that I should do that. Then I was like, but this can't keep happening, always.
Can't do this for the rest
of
my life.
Because, you know, even when it comes, even when... It will always be there that when you're working under someone else, voicing your opinions and for somebody else to accept that opinion as it is very difficult.
Absolutely,
So we always had that problem. I think even Vishnu had that problem, that I think we wanted to do something and something else was coming out and we were so tired of that.
Yes.
We were like, this is not what we wanted. Mm. So let's just do it on our own. Mm. I think we'll handle it better. And I think designing for ourselves and working for ourselves is more satisfactory and satisfying than working for
other people. My other reasons of opening our own firm. I am from a business background. My dad is a businessman. So I never had that mindset of going like from a 9-to-5 job, working under someone. So like it's all in the genes.
Absolutely. It's true.
Being with your dad every night, with the parents, with the whole family, and then knowing to do all these things.
You see it day in, day out, and that becomes like a language that you study and listen to and you understand. So
I had my job, I had gone through that only for that learning experience, learned it, always wanted to open a good firm. Then is when these guys came over to me and they wanted to like really open a firm, and then we decided,
we
let's just do it together then.
Yeah, we went to him with the idea that, okay, this is what we are thinking and we want to come up with a firm and let's just do it, And then he was like, yeah, I've always wanted to do it, so let's just do it. But I don't think there are any landmark moments where you realize.
It's always a build-up.
Yes. It is a build-up.
Yeah, it's gradual. Yes. I think in college, when you do well, you feel, okay, I'm in a right course. This is fine. Then when you start working, then you start working and then one day you have this moment with your vendor, Kiare, what we wanted, then you get the confidence, okay, now I can handle vendors.
Yeah.
So I think it's very gradual that you get to learn and then you become confident in other sectors. For us, it happened fast, so we sort of grabbed it all and we ran with it, and we started doing interiors, we started doing branding. Is something I love to do. I like graphics and stuff, and I like playing with it. So I started doing that for my clients, for restaurants, and for I did it for a superfood brand and stuff. So that's a fun project that I take over. And execution, they are so good at it. We started taking that up. So then gradually we started doing everything and we became this one-stop shop.
So it's like from being designers to taking in turnkey projects. So that is where we all started.
We're gonna talk about that journey, but first I want to understand, how did you guys, like the three of you, choose the name? How did that come in?
I think a lot of people have been asking us that.
Yeah.
And you have a better answer for this, I guess.
It's a very unorthodox name.
Because we always knew that we don't want to restrict ourselves to architecture or interiors, we did not want to go with a name that showed that.
Okay.
You know, so we have a tagline also. Yeah.
Oh, what is it?
No.
Create. Okay. No. Okay. So it's creative nuts.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah. We had put that in. Then we took that off because we wanted to show, okay, now we've grown up. So we never wanted people to think of us as just architects or just interior firm or something, because we always wanted that flexibility, because we all want because we are three people, we all have different interests and we are trying to master those. So we don't want to restrict ourselves. So we said that, okay, we don't want a generic name. We won't go with a studio or this or that.
Or labs, for sure.
That's a very, it picked up and everyone's like, this lab, that lab, that lab. Like, oh my God, everyone is calling it the same thing.
So the moment you add studio or you add Atelier or you add something like this, it becomes very specific to what you do. And we did not want that. And also we wanted people to think of us as a young, fun,
spunky
sort of, because that is what we try to reflect in our work also. If you would see our work, even if we are doing high end things, we try to pop it up or we try to add this twist to it and stuff. So we were just thinking, gaadi mein, like we were going in the car and we were like, okay, what should we name it? We came up with so many different names, but then I think we came up with this name and I think we repeated it 20 times.
And then we liked it and we started following.
You like the sound of it.
Yeah, pronouncing it.
Okay, now we'll name this unorthodox.
So that's how it came.
So how much time did it take for you guys to come down to
1 hour?
Really?
That was the first time when we were discussing that 2015, that car journey. We can't forget that moment. That was the first
time.
We were just thinking, what would we want from our firm?
Trying to come up with a vision for ourselves and for our firm, and thinking, okay, how much we've grown and how much we've learned. Okay, now, so how would we want it to be? Because then we were in the comfort of a salary, you know. Then we were like, okay, no, we can't do it, but let's just think of it. It took us 1 year to go and talk to our boss and actually take the step, okay, now we want to move out.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but then we had also told her in between some time that, you know, we want to do something else also apart from this. And we were lucky enough for her to allow us. So we started taking small works, which she was also comfortable with. And if we were not, you know, if we were doing her work on time, she was okay with it. Yeah. And that's how gradually we started, the confidence started building up.
And so while you were at your job, you guys,
there was an overlap. Two of us.
Two. So.
But then he was also helping us out.
Acha, so
yeah. So I was working in a totally different firm altogether. And that is where I was working in an interior firm also.
Oh, okay.
So gradually, I also went from architecture to interiors. Started doing a lot of interior projects. Then they came up to me that you also are doing the same thing that we are planning to do. So why don't we just do it together?
Yeah.
I think now when we are trying to hire people and all also, all of them are coming up with the same idea about how they are approaching architecture, because you know, they all feel that you have to learn interiors even if you are an architect.
Achha.
Because you're not getting the opportunity to actually design buildings, because okay, so grown-up people are the ones who are building their houses, and they don't really trust very young people to do architecture.
True, they don't.
They don't. Hmm. We face that.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, you know, they were like, "Ki, I think we have to learn interiors because that's where you actually start from."
Hmm.
Which is sad also, but then, I don't know.
Maybe it's part of the deal, I guess. I don't know. Yes. Because that's the way, maybe that's where the market is right now.
Yeah. People who are architects, who just studied and came out of the college, and they're very enthused about architecture, and then they have to get their hands on interiors because this is something we should learn, because I think we'll get more opportunity to do interiors than architecture.
It's true because it's like a package, faster,
like what clients have been asking for. If you do this thing for me, can you do this as well? So it's like better doing the other stuff also.
Now people actually do want a one-stop solution
for everything.
Like if they are hiring someone, they would only do our interiors, our architecture part, our furniture, everything.
It's more convenient.
It's convenient, yes.
Yeah.
They don't want to go to so many people. And luckily, we had interest in interiors, so it worked for us.
So how did you all land your first project while you guys were maybe still working, I think?
Yeah, we were working. I was actually working for someone during my job. And I had interaction with their relatives and people they knew and stuff. And they sort of liked the way I worked, because I never, even in a job, I never restricted myself to the work hours.
Okay.
When it was required for me to be on the site, I was there.
Okay.
So they sort of liked it, and then their relatives approached me with their project, and they were like, "Will you be able to do it?" and stuff like that. And I was like, "Yeah, I can do it."
So at this
and
point, they knew that you were working separately?
Yeah, they knew knew that I was working somewhere, but they were like, "We would like you to do it." And then I was like, "Okay, why not?"
This way, we were very crystal clear that we have a job, but we are doing this separately also. It's your wish how you want.
And the best part was what you told me before, that you already had told your boss that we would be doing this work as well. And which is where she allowed.
Which is a great thing.
Like, which is like ethical also. It's just like to even tell someone.
Yeah. Morally, so ethically, it's right to keep things transparent. Yeah.
Obviously, because they do get to know later on that if we don't, our dedication level drops.
Yeah.
Wo pata lag jata hai. Then they get to know that, okay, there's something fishy, they are doing something. So it's better to be clear about it and stuff. Yeah.
True.
And also because... Well, I always needed an extra amount of money to pay my rent and stuff like that. So I always took up small graphic projects also in between to do things. So it was something we had to do.
So was it Unorthodox's first project or was it...
It was.
So the moment we got that project, we always knew that we had the firm and we went to him. That now things are getting real. Now we got a project. So let's take it and run with it.
I remember that moment. They actually came up to me and they literally asked, "Could you do all the execution part of the project? Could you do all the managing part of the project?" Because we knew you could...
Because I had been doing it in
previous firms. So then is when her strengths came in, Salanki's strengths came in, then my strengths came in, and then we actually formed the firm that you would be doing the designing part, she would be doing all the drawing parts and making sure all the technical things are correct, and I'm making sure that the project is managed very well, things are done on right terms with the vendors and everything. Managing all the finances
in
between.
So it was all clear right from the beginning.
We've never had very blurred lines with our roles. We don't
Even if we mix up, we actually land up doing that
the same eventually. Thing you come same down again,
automatically.
When I have a lot of design load, we are very specific, so we have to manage it in a certain way and we do it. So if I have a lot of design work, I delegate work to them. If she has a lot of drawing work, she'll delegate work to me. But we have our own segments where we work in, and we don't try to really push ourselves our way into each other's segments. We
but
don't
of course
that.
We discuss everything because that's how you have
all the initial ideas, the way the work has to be divided in terms of the three of us, that is done correctly in a better way so that things don't go wrong.
I actually, if I have a concept, I prepare a presentation, I actually present it to them or send it to them, go through it.
Okay.
If they have any inputs, they'll come back to me, they'll tell me, I'll make the changes and stuff. Then it goes down to her, then it goes down to him. So we have that clarity because that if, otherwise it will like
in a way
very
that
messy.
She in a way that she tells that technically this is not right, we won't be able to execute
it,
and in a way that I'll tell them that this is not financially right for us, we won't be able to do it in this much.
This is fantastic. I mean,
that's why we learn from each other.
So
it's always better to have, I think, more than one person in the firm.
Absolutely.
You definitely learn from each other. You cross-question each other.
And because our roles are so clear, we always try to grow in our certain segments. This
that
is
we make
so
the
important.
Team stronger.
So I will try and read more books. I'll try and learn more about design and stuff like that. Materials. She would go out. She would do
would
a lot of material survey. She
I
loves
would
doing
love.
That. I don't like it at all.
She hates it and I love it.
I hate it.
I would go look out for more vendors. Getting in more financial power for ourselves. Getting stuff done at the right
the
time.
The subcontractor teams and all, he would go out and look for more people, better teams and stuff like that, get them to us. It's a great way of approaching.
It's a power team.
getting things done on time, I guess.
Great. So when you guys started and you said that, okay, fine, let's take on the first project. Of course, you guys were all working. You still had like salaries flowing in. But did you guys do a separate study where you said that, you know what, we need to pool in this much amount of money. And this is the kind of investment we're going to do in our firm. And this is what's required. And this is the future projection, like, okay, fine. By year one, we need to build in so much and so much money should come in, or we need to keep a backup of so much. Did you do any of those calculations?
Not really, actually. When we got this project, that's when we realized we need a bank account. And I think we should also start, think of registering the company. But then registration and all happened next year when we actually left. But then we had a bank account so that, you know, we can get payments. and then it was just that. So, and the money came in from the savings from our previous salaries. And then we are very proud to say that we never had to ask any money from our parents.
That's a big thing.
From our parents to start our own company, to start our own venture. We were very happy about it. We are still very proud of it. And then later on, when we kept getting projects, we left our jobs. We got out of that comfort zone. Then slowly
you
started
you rotate the finances from other projects into this project, and that we learned all of this very gradually and
started
we then
our
hired
capital.
We built our capital, we hired CAs, and then our CAs were there to tell us what
and
to
then
do
our godfather came
it.
In telling us how we would be handling the whole firm.
We have a person who's very special to us,
very special to us.
He guides us with the finances and stuff. So I think there wasn't, we didn't even have an office space, right? We were working out of my flat.
There wasn't a lot of
investment. I mean, we used to travel and we used to work a lot. We had our initial laptops with us. I think that's the basic thing that we ever required. Then is when we bought the first printer. When we bought the first printer, this is like our first investment. This is like for a company.
We got a small A4 printer for 7,000 rupees. That was one investment.
That was one investment that we did. I think the major investment that we've ever done is for our laptops only. And other than that, this is another thing.
All we needed
done.
Was a site, a table, and our laptop. That's it.
We had
that's
traveled.
How
we have worked.
Now we have an office space. Now we are doing all those investments after we've built a capital and stuff.
So 1 year into the firm, were you guys were still with your companies? Were you guys still doing a job?
No, 6 months.
Not even
6 months, I
think. Not even 6 months. I remember.
Even we left
less.
Three or four months.
So if someone were to start their own firm, or if someone's thinking of starting their own firm, So all they need, if they have the space, Jugadu space, if they have something like that, all they really need is a laptop and their brains.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. That's it. Really? That's it.
That's what, and a project.
And a project.
And a project. Acha. Yeah. So now I think I want to talk about teams, in the sense that, I mean, having three architects is great. You guys have your own strengths. But I mean, the team is beyond just architects, right? You have your consultants, you have your contractors, you have your, you know, structure guy. So how did you guys identify the rest of the team, and how did that work out? Or did your clients, I mean, did your first client give you the contractor, or did you
we
go
did
look
that
for
project
it?
Turnkey.
Achha, turnkey.
That was a turnkey project for us. So we did a lot of market survey, actually.
Yes.
Okay.
We did a lot of market survey.
Before you guys started, or like
while I was designing, he was out there looking for
vendors, like in all the markets. I had previous vendors working with my previous firm. So I had rapport with them directly. So they wanted to work with me. They always wanted it. Vishnu, the day you open your firm, I would really want to work with you. So
that's
then is when I got my team.
Yeah, that happened with all of us in our, from our firms. The moment they got to know that we've moved out of our firms, they approached us directly that we would want to work with them. And we knew their work already. So some of them we took up, some of them we didn't. And we found some new vendors.
Yes.
So
we did ask,
ask
around our friends also. Like first contractor was through a friend. He was working in a firm and he knew a contractor who could do this kind of a job. So yeah, so
that
from
going,
this contact,
going randomly
from
on the road
firm.
And just like going to a site and say, can you do this work for me? Can you just show me what kind of work you've already done? Even that was easy. Like I live close to Kirti Nagar and a lot of vendors are just sitting over there. Having a lot of, like you go to a shop, to a tile shop or maybe a different kind of shop and just like ask, well, do you have a tile vendor who can just like lay out the tile for me? So that was easy. So getting into know what kind of work they have done. So like it was a gradual process. Like we got to know more vendors, more contractors, more subcontractors.
Now we have a proper team.
So do you guys kind of believe in investing time and effort into one particular team, having, you know, a few contractors who are kind of trustworthy and, you know, they understand what you say, you understand what they are trying to communicate.
Now we have that.
Now we have that.
Achha. Now we know if we have certain project which, like, obviously, if we have carpenters, we have 2-3 different teams, but now we know, we understand what kind of work they can do, what kind of work they'll be comfortable with. So now when we get a project, we know which person to delegate this work to.
We know who can do good commercial work, who can do work well, who can work well for residences, who can work well for others. We have parallel teams, and you have to have parallel teams, otherwise the timing also lags.
Absolutely.
If you burden one team with a lot of work, you won't be able to deliver.
So we
learned that, we faced that in the first year while we were working.
And most importantly, to get in the finances
on time.
Yeah. We just need to know the perfect vendor for that.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are clients who pay slowly. There are clients who are very well on their time of giving the payment. So accordingly also we had to choose our vendors, because there are some vendors who really want
they
to be very punctual with their payments and not.
Okay.
And there are some vendors who really work on advance. So like there's a different process how we literally choose our vendors for a project.
You have to be very strategic with the finances and the cash flow and stuff like that. You have, like, that's what she does all the time. She is
I'm kind of the accountant of the company as well. Every second day it's my job to look at the accounts.
Yeah. I mean, we do have CAs, but we have built-in CAs also.
So
I'm always doing the accounting,
the taxing and everything.
So that's what you've learned.
Yeah.
Like being architects, very CAs as well.
Yeah.
Which is great.
I'm not happy. I don't even look at the finances. Like,
sometimes it's like all on the trust whether we should be telling all this to the accountant or not, because there are so many internal expenditures that you're going through that you don't know how you would want to tell it to the CA and whether he would remember it or not, because
I think it changes also very fast.
Exactly.
The speed at which it changes is really
fast.
Does
our CA, I don't know, I don't remember where he stays, but we've met him, I think, once or twice. We're always on the phone.
Oh,
yeah, we just So yeah. It's very difficult to keep telling them, communicate, and keep telling them about all the small expenses. Mm. So it's easier that I streamline everything for them and then I give it to them and then they can handle all the GST and all the taxing part of it.
But it's easier.
It works for us that way.
A lot of paperwork. That is what we just realized after opening the firm that there is a lot of paperwork and what taxes are. I think we're really scared of taxes now.
Yeah, we've realized that, okay, it's very important to be a good designer, to be out there and to open a firm. But it's a lot more than all that.
It's a lot more than just being a designer.
About finances, it's about execution, it's about payments, it's about getting the payments out.
I mean,
of the
eventually,
this, worst part.
You would
it's
eventually just kind of become a businessman only in a way okay, we are designers, but we are more than just designers. We are an entrepreneur right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Keep
because
your aesthetics in place while doing all of this, it's all very tiring also. Yeah.
Also, I think it's difficult to keep a level head when you're a designer and also, you know, doing the best business end of things, right? I was talking to a friend of mine the other day and she makes digital art and she had a bad experience where someone didn't pay her. I mean, she made the product and someone didn't pay her. And you were just talking and you're thinking that, you know, it's so difficult to switch hats. You know, when you're a designer, because you're so involved in that design and, you know, it comes from the heart, and because you have your own firm now, it's, you know, it's partly emotional. Yeah. And to tell people that, no, you take out money from
that's
money.
The most difficult
it's
part, I'm telling
very
you.
Difficult.
And we've learned one thing, and it's a very harsh learning, is to not be emotionally attached to your design. It is so important. Because when it goes sore and when your client doesn't end up paying you, you start resenting it all. It's very important. And you feel like you feel so bad about it. You've put in all your heart and soul. In the end, it doesn't pay you that well.
Absolutely.
It's really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I totally remember what clients used to tell us. Like, it's just a service, bacha. It's just a service. Like, you're not giving me a product. I'm like, I just literally gave you a product.
Yeah.
You're using that product. Don't call my product as a service now.
Yeah. True, it's true.
It'll be a good learning for you.
We call it as a product.
It'll be a good experience.
I mean, I call it as a product. You can't call it as a service.
Yeah.
And the worst part is that nowadays, clients feel that you're not really doing something extraordinary. What do you mean by that?
What? Really?
Yeah, there are people who end up saying, it's design hi to hai. Everybody can design it.
Yeah,
I can
it's
do
a service.
The designing. And I'm like, oh, really? Why don't you just do it? And then they come back to us saying, okay, now we get what your point was. There are a lot of things with the, see, so such people are very short-sighted. Being architects and designers, we don't have a short-sightedness when it comes to our work.
Yeah.
We know why we are doing it and we know what repercussions it will have on the spaces around it. But then they don't see that.
Yeah, they don't.
Later when they when the things get messy and then they realize, oh, okay, this is why we were going that way.
Yeah.
That way.
Oh,
so,
thank God I hired you. Oh, thank God I hired you.
But it's a good thing also that, nowadays people do want interior designers and architects. It's not that they know that, okay, we will get something special to the table. There are builders who are approaching us because they know that, okay, we do need somebody.
Okay.
There are builders who don't have any background in architecture, but they are there. They're out there and making buildings and stuff. So now they are hiring designers because they know you do need them.
Absolutely.
And there's so much competition out there.
Yeah.
So,
one of our clients keeps saying that we want that oomph factor from you. That oomph. You add that tadka to my
I still remember the name that he used. Bacha, I want that masala from you.
Yes.
Bacha, I want that masala from you. I have hired you. Give me that masala.
And they recognize that masala a little later.
Yeah, they doubt you throughout the process.
I mean, I'm telling you. I've been doing that project for the last 4 months. And it's like since last week only, he just started saying that, oh, this is what we're coming out with.
Yeah.
I love it now.
Yeah.
I love it.
It was very difficult. It becomes very difficult to convince them in the beginning.
Yeah. I think even to convince yourself, like to keep going on with the same enthusiasm when the client is like, hey, achha nahi lag raha.
And then you start questioning yourself. Really don't like it.
Exactly.
And because now they're not able to visualize it.
But you have to have the patience. There comes a point in a project when things look Like when spaces also look smaller.
Yeah.
And then when you paint it, then it looks bigger. So there are things we know. So we have to be very patient with the client and we're like, okay, now he'll come around. So you just sit, relax, he'll come around, let him have a panic attack. Like, no, it'll be okay.
It'll be okay, yes. We know we'll be fine.
And I think it has happened almost with every project.
I think we have done 27 projects. Or 27, 24 were literally like this. Like, what were you doing for me? What are you doing right now? And then when the actual end product comes up,
then it's appreciated.
And our clients have been very kind.
Very
and
kind to
we've
us.
We've been lucky with all that, that it's always been appreciated.
Yeah.
And it's always been word of mouth for us. We are not out there anywhere.
That's crazy.
It's been
two, three months. 27 in... Yeah. 2.5 years is, and all through word of mouth, it's like crazy. I mean, you guys must be doing some crazy work, keeping your clients super happy.
We had ups and downs, but
everyone has ups and downs. I mean, that's part of the process, I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've heard this, I haven't encountered it firsthand, but usually, when someone asks me, friends, my mom's friends, "Achha beta, what do you do? Architecture, okay, fine." If I were to go up to them and tell them that, listen, you know, I also do interior design, there's a big question mark on their face that, you know, what do you do? Do you do this or do you make buildings or do you do interiors? So do you also face that with your clients? Because they tend to doubt a person's ability and skill when you say that, you know, we do this, this and this, especially when it's a younger firm and it's a, you know, it's freshly started. Did you guys face any of that?
See, you do get questions and they do doubt you, but then you have your work to showcase.
Acha.
So we showcase our work. We tell them, okay, this is what we've done. I know as newcomers, people would not have that.
Yeah.
So what they can do is they can come up with their own hypothetical projects and create stuff to show to them that you do have that ability in you to do it.
To create that.
To create things.
I remember you did one project which was like a random site. We kind of did the project by ourselves. And we kind of like showcased to ourselves only. Okay, we can do this. That's how we started.
Even with graphics and stuff like that.
Tried doing it a lot of times.
Yeah, I tried doing it a lot of times. And sometimes it worked out. Sometimes it did not. So I know I have to brush up my skills on that. I still feel, okay, I have to go for a course. Because if I want to pursue it, there are people out there who are very good at it. I'm not that great. But I have an eye for it. So I can do it. So, you know, I would want to brush up my skills and stuff. So, and also I think when your architecture is such a broad thing, it's such a broad field, and it's a very good thing actually. Because then when you know, you can experiment with so many things. For an interior designer, he would never step into architecture. A product designer would never step into something like that. But an architect has that sort of...
I think just the tag
of an architect makes you, you know, eligible to do whatever you want. You can make chairs, you can do design, you can get into graphics, you can get into photography, you know, you can get into anything.
I think the kind of training you've got, the kind of courses
we've studied and been exposed to.
Especially in our college, it's great how they taught us. From sociology to psychology to graphics to product to paint to exhibition design to
those small workshops, those woodwork workshops. All help you. They actually tell you, okay,
I think... Also, now in the market, you have to have specialization. Because there's so many people out there, you have to specialize into something. And that's how you make your brand.
You need to create a niche for yourself.
It's a very crowded space. You have to make space for yourself. And that's how you do it. And there are different types of designers. For us, we... Among us, I go from a macro level to a micro level. That's my approach. Okay. Her approach is that she goes from a micro level to a macro level. She would think of a detail first and then build up a design around that.
Exactly.
I think of a design and then go into
the
detail. There are people who have very different design approaches, I think. And I think that's how you also figure out, okay, she knew that, okay, I'm so good with the details.
Hmm.
She wanted to explore the technical part of it.
Hmm.
I knew that, okay, I look at the details at the end.
Hmm.
I am very good with the design, so I'm very good with the concept.
Hmm.
So, you know, that's how you approach towards things. And that's how you actually tell yourself. And then you get to know, okay, I'm good at this, I'm good at that. And then you create a niche for yourself. And then with the work experience that we knew what space we wanted to get into the market. It's not that we're not doing architecture projects. We do architecture projects also. But we enjoy doing interiors
a lot.
Because they're fast.
Yeah.
They're very fast.
Yeah.
And,
I mean,
you know,
get to see the product so quickly.
Yeah.
It's very exciting for us.
We are impatient designers.
I mean, we just thought about a concept. We thought about a design. And you see, look, you really see that design within 3 or 4 months. Oh, there's a baby down there.
Which is great. So now that you mentioned design, what I'm curious about is that there are three people, three architects, and obviously three of you have your individual takes on design. So when you were doing your first project, maybe your second project, did you guys sit down and kind of define the design language that you all would have? Or did it just come from Samiksha, you, that, you know, you had an idea that, you know, or maybe actually a vision that this is the kind of palette that I use, this is a kind of, you know, structures that I like, these are the, this is the line work that I appreciate, and these are the kind of graphics that I'm into. And like, how did Unorthodox come up with the language of, you know, interior and that vocabulary that you all have? How did that happen?
So what happens is that it also depends from project to project.
Acha.
Okay, we did the best part, which I feel in our team, is that they respect my sense of design a lot. And even when they have inputs, they trust me with it. You have to trust each other. That's what you have to do. So when it comes to design things and design language, creating a design language, we all started designing. It's not that we never curb each other from designing. We all do it. We all have inputs. We all brainstorm.
Formalizing, we actually do that together.
Brainstorming.
First.
Acha.
Yeah.
Okay.
The brainstorming
happens.
And then
we put everything on the table, and then you know,
the refining part of it, coming with the color palettes and stuff like that. That's when I take it up and I do all of that.
Okay.
But
the final
then
presentation.
I know she has a certain design language. I know he has a certain design language. I know I have a certain design language. And the moment I feel, okay, this client would want her language, I go to her, I tell her, okay, tell me how to go about it, and then I take it up.
Achha.
When I know that client will have his design language, I go to him. And then I have this sort of a design language where I don't restrict myself. It's not that I have created a language yet. I'm still experimenting with my design language. For me, it's very important for the client to be satisfied with what I'm doing. As designers, you have to have the flexibility with the clients, because in the end, they are putting in their money.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And they have to live with it.
Yeah.
We'll just design, we'll execute
see it day in, day out.
And so they have to love it and they have to be very comfortable with it.
So it's like you can't really have an approach where you say, this is my design. You can't be egoistic about it. You can't be like, this is what I'm designing. You have to live with it.
No,
this is not how it works.
A
lot of architects are assumed to be that way.
Yeah.
And people are actually, there were clients who were actually scared of hiring a designer because they thought we'll take it
That's the general understanding, I feel, with a lot of people. They would rather get in a contractor and get it done themselves rather than hire someone.
There are movies being made on this attitude of architects.
Yeah, there was this one,
the
Hollywood
architect.
The architect. Yeah,
this
and
movie
he makes
where
this,
they showed. Huh?
Yeah, this crazy design for this couple, right?
Yeah. He makes this weird house for them. And then
this is
perceived, right? And this is not how it works in the practical market.
Absolutely,
not in India yet. Outside, I feel people, I met this lady on the flight, and she was an architect too and working in the US. And I was trying to understand how they are doing it, how their approach is, and if they are facing the same challenges as we are facing in India. And actually, they do face that. the same mm-hmm. things, and I was really shocked. It's not that architects in the olden times, the way they were respected and they were given the place of God and you are the creator sort of a thing, doesn't happen now.
Yeah.
And you have to respect the client because everybody now feels they are designers.
Pinterest that's true with Pinterest
has done that to them.
I think even House, that website for that matter, that they kind of pretty much, you know, it's like a template. They're manufacturing templates.
Yeah, we do really need to respect what the client really wants. Like the first brief is always given by the clients. And then is where we start putting in our inputs in a way that this would be one way that we can make it better for you. Okay, you want this, we will give it to you, but in our own different
ways. That's the job. We have to give that extra edge to that design. That's why we are hired. Otherwise, you know, the basic things everyone knows.
That's true.
There are so many people who are not hiring architects, designers, and they're still building houses and showrooms or whatnot.
And sometimes
that's your job, so you have to listen to their brief. You have to understand it, and you have to bring something.
Their psychology.
Psychology. Yeah, that's why that subject. Now I understand why we studied psychology.
And sometimes we give two different concepts because sometimes we feel the client is absolutely cuckoo. And he's saying he's trying to burn his money. So we give them two designs. One is what they want. One is what we want to try and tell them how different these two things are. And then they try to see, okay, this is not right. This is right. So you have to do all these
things. Which is very smart. I mean, that approach is pretty smart. Because I mean, see it for yourself like that.
Because otherwise, what she said, that otherwise they'll definitely perceive it in the first or second meeting when you get the presentation that this person wants what they want. They will not listen to me.
That's true. That's
and then that makes them very insecure. It actually frightens them.
So you maybe it just even drives them away.
It does. Yeah, it does. So many times it happens.
So with your firm, do you guys intend on having a particular language? Like, I mean, like we spoke before, there's Royal China happening, and then with that great, beautiful chandelier. It's not a chandelier. It's a
lighting installation.
It's a lighting installation. Yeah. So that happening. So I think, I mean, even I can't define it, I wouldn't want to define it, but you know, it's like artwork, right? People specialize, and you only said you need to create a niche for yourself. So what kind of language are you going towards to create a niche for yourself?
See, we do a lot of high-end projects. We do a lot of luxury projects, but because we have that, we still feel we are in a learning curve. So I think we will get to our language.
I can't say that we have a language now.
I don't want to figure out the languages. So
we want it to be, you know,
open.
So different and open. We like it.
Eclectic, in a way.
And you can't, if you restrict yourself with a language, you are, I think, going into a smaller market and hitting yourself into a smaller market yourself.
You're actually creating a boundary around you, and then you want to stick to that. We want to experiment. We want to explore. We want to see. Get to different things according to the briefs, according to what clients want. And we want to give something different to everyone, possibly.
And because we are three people, it's very easy for us to do that. One person forms a design language very soon.
Very soon, yeah, that's true.
With the three of us together, it's not happening, and we are very happy about it. Because when she sees that I am sort of restricting myself and I have this wall around me and my thought process is not really going widening itself. They come into the picture and they're like,
like a third point view. I think you are stuck somewhere and we might just go wrong. So let's just do something different about it.
We critique each other. We do that all the time.
And being architects, we do have different stance, but we do actually sit together for design. That like we told you before.
It's very important. I feel if I feel that I'm the design head in the firm, it's very important that all three of us have to sit together, brainstorm together, because in the end we all are designers.
That's true.
We that's our policy with our firm any which ways. Even if we are hiring people now, the juniors, we never restrict them. So many of them came to us saying that, you know, in our firm we were working, we were told, tum apna dimag mat lagao. तुम यहाँ सिर्फ ड्रॉइंग्स डिटेल्स
बोलते हैं लोगों को. हाँ
एंड दिस इज नॉट द वे टू गो. वी वर नॉट टॉट दैट वे इन आवर फर्म्स एंड वी वर वेरी लकी.
हां
वी वर ऑलवेज टोल्ड एक्सपेरिमेंट.
वी वर मोटिवेटेड अ लॉट एंड वी वर जस्ट
यार एक्चुअली माय कॉन्सेप्ट वाज एग्जीक्यूटेड यार. मतलब
दैट्स अ बिग थिंग.
इट वाज सो बिग. इट वाज सो बिग यार फॉर मी एंड दैट गिव्स यू द कॉन्फिडेंस.
कॉन्फिडेंस यस
दैट गिव्स यू द कॉन्फिडेंस एंड वी डोंट वांट टू डू दैट टू आवर एम्प्लॉइज. वी वुड नेवर डू दैट.
So how many people are working?
So we have a site supervisor right now and we hired 2 more people. So we are still looking for people, getting it out there.
Okay guys, I'm not announcing hiring. I don't know if you all will be hiring 2 or 3 months down the line because it's a weekly podcast.
So we are hiring people. We are still small. We've just opened an office. Yeah, we've just done that. So we are doing it.
That's the first step.
Where is it?
That's the first step to putting in the finances now. First we
so
bought a print and now
it's actually started. In my apartment.
Acha.
So it's sort of a loft where I have my living space and one of the, like 2 of the rooms have been converted into.
Acha, it's in Delhi only.
Gurgaon.
Oh, Gurgaon.
Yeah.
Oh.
Close by.
Super duper.
Yeah.
Nice.
So when we expand the team even more, then we'll shift out.
Yeah. Right now, we don't think office. We need that bigger space.
I mean, it's again an experience how we actually need to handle an office. The day we start handling it perfectly, there will be the day we will actually go rent out an own office.
That's a big responsibility.
That's a very big responsibility. Yeah.
That's true. That's
and
true.
You know, with the finances and all, they don't really come very timely.
Yeah. I mean, with interiors, I mean, I'm sure it must be faster, but with like proper building construction projects,
that's slow.
You
process.
Don't even get to know where the architecture money goes.
Oh, damn.
Because that project goes on for 2 years, then the payments are coming in so slowly.
Yeah.
That money is like your pocket money. It comes and goes. It's like that.
Acha. So now I went through the Instagram page and I honestly loved it. And
do follow us on Instagram. we do need more followers.
So what caught my eye was your Royal China Ka project, where there are these large, you know, women, like Chinese women, and you know, they have how did you guys come up with and decide that, you know, this illustration and this kind of vibe needs to come at that grand a scale?
You know, Royal China is a very established brand.
Yeah.
They've been there for years and they have
8 to 10 years now.
Yeah, and their clientele is very, what do you call it?
It's like the cream of the...
Not cream. They come back to them only.
Very loyal.
Very loyal clientele. Like after eating there, I crave their food like crazy all the time.
That's the
what
best
do they
Asian
put in their
food.
Food.
I don't
That's
know.
The best Asian food I've ever had.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And the clients.
I
also
have to go
now. You should. So that restaurant was actually scaled down. Piso came right next to it and he did Piso also.
Oh, okay.
So Piso is where you saw that chandelier.
So
they actually scaled it down and it was huge before. And then we thought that it's been there for so many years, you know, you get to feel that, okay, it's an old brand. We have to sort of pop it up and bring a young vibe to that space. And also they used a lot of mirror there. Their entire ceiling was mirror, their walls were mirror and stuff like that. So we wanted to tone that down a little, get the attention away from that. So what we did was that firstly to get the young vibe, we used those graphics on those walls with the women. And to tone tone everything else down. So we had to get the attention away from the mirrors. That was very important for us. So then we got that wall that you saw on Instagram, that entire lit wall.
Yeah.
So we got that wall and we did their branding on that. Their logo came right in the middle of the thing. And then the rest of the walls were toned down with wooden cladding, which was like dimly lit with stone and stuff. Mm. And then we used a lot of plants and stuff like that. Even their bar, we haven't changed the bar because they had spent a lot of money on that. They wanted to retain it. It was all onyx. And it looked like fire.
Must have been so expensive, onyx.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, like, it was recent because they had just, I think just when they scaled it down,
that's when they got the bar. So they did not want to remove that bar, and that was also a very eye-catching corner. So we had to, like, get the attention away from that also. Because you have, when you're doing new things, you need people to see the new things and notice the new things and get away from the older stuff there. That's when they've renovated. So whatever, we came up with that wall which became their USP later. People are loving it apparently, and those ladies on the walls gives a very young vibe to this place. So that was our approach for that project.
Crazy. And let's talk about the lighting installation.
Lighting installation at Piso. I think that was one big chandelier, and it was all on the basis of the project that we did. And
So for that, what happened was they had this space in the ceiling, which a recess in the ceiling, which was huge. So any chandelier, what you would buy, you would never get a chandelier of that size.
Okay.
So we knew that we had to customize something.
Plus, it was in a very odd location. As per the furniture layout or flooring layout or anything, it was just a very odd location.
Like very off-center.
Very off-center. So you have to have something which doesn't make the space look centralized also. Plus, it's, you know, you don't have to make it flat or anything because the ceiling was anyways very low.
Like that lighting installation had to be made in a manner that it doesn't focus on something. Otherwise, lighting is focused on things.
That's a challenge in itself.
Exactly. So then we thought, okay, so it need not, it cannot be something bulky.
Yeah.
Because bulk will get focused.
Hmm.
So we thought, okay, it need not be bulky. So then we came up with that sort of airy design.
Hmm.
We spread it across that entire niche space. And then because it had to have that upmarket sort of a feel to it, we used brass. And then it was very difficult. Installing that also was very challenging because...
The globes that we used on it was... One of the biggest reasons we wanted to use the scattered light.
Diffused lighting, we did the globes. And then even the fixture for the globe had to be customized because you don't get that really.
Yeah.
Because our members for the light were made and customized. So you don't really get that. So we had to get the fixture also customized along with that. And then getting the wires... Through
all the metal frames.
The most difficult
part was like to getting it assembled on the side and getting it hand from the ceiling.
And actually,
it was not one member, it was like 15 members of the main chandelier, all connected, the wires going through every metal member, and then
you know how
on
the loops
ceiling.
Are entangled, those are entangled loops that chandelier.
And then holes through those metal members
and
getting the wire.
You have to strategize where the holes go because there was only one place of connect between those entangled members.
Oh my god.
So then that was the only point where the wire could come in.
So one support for one member, just one support. So it was like...
It was very
difficult.
Very complicated.
It was amazing
design. Very complicated.
Plus
then installing that was a nightmare.
Plus the restaurant is on the 16th floor.
Yeah.
Oh my
and
god.
The lift is not that huge. So we actually had to get the entire installation on site while construction, figure it out, mark everything, see what is lacking, what had to be done, and then take it all back through the staircase, back to the workshop, work it again,
and then there was a lot of back and forth to it.
Yeah.
And then also we had to make it in parts, because obviously because of the size, it was made in parts. And then it was assembled on the site. So it was very difficult.
That's
because
crazy.
It was very complicated.
Thanks to our vendors, whatever you were telling them, they were able to use, like, they were able to do it.
Yeah, we had to develop a 3D for them.
Obviously,
while we were designing for ourselves also, we had to make a 3D to understand what
was
happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like Vishnu worked out the 3D, the design for the chandelier, and then we sort of thought of a way to construct it, get it constructed. It was a very extensive process.
But
we
came out really good.
Yeah. We knew that if we achieve that chandelier, it would
literally like change the place, and it did.
And it sets it beautifully.
And the best part was like The opening of the restaurant was just like 1 week away from the date.
Hmm.
And we were given that schedule that you have to really get a chandelier for us. Because he had been searching for a chandelier for the last 2 months and he couldn't get any chandelier in the market.
So you guys did this in 1 week?
1 week just before the opening of the...
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was one tedious job as well.
Actually, that has been our USP all along. That
all
we
along.
Execute our projects very fast. That's
who
how
is your team? Who are these people?
That actually happens when you have different smaller teams.
Different smaller teams, so that you're
and
not
you
really dependent on one person.
Yeah, you have to delegate the work like that.
Yes.
Mm.
It's a lot on handling
so
also.
If there's like one metal thing that you're getting done on a site, you don't have one team for that specific thing.
Yeah.
You have 2-3 teams because if one guy is really does something wrong, your other two vendors really waiting for you to do it properly.
Oh.
Initially, you know, it becomes difficult also because when you have, say, like if you have two carpenters or two glass guys, they keep coming and asking you, why didn't you give the entire work to me?
Yeah.
They don't understand that. But later on now, I think our teams have also
understood.
Why we do this.
And
they
appreciate
each
other.
Yeah, appreciate
each
other's work, and it's not like they'll keep bad-mouthing
yeah,
each
yeah.
other that,
yeah.
see,
yeah.
that person hasn't done
it.
Now they've understood our concept and our way of working, and now they're fine with it.
Initially, it's a very unique system. I mean, what you all have over here, I've never seen or heard of it before, but clearly, you can do that chandelier in 1 week.
Yeah.
But I still want to know, like, I'm gonna secretly sneak up on your site.
I mean, it's a good restaurant by itself. It's
a
good place. You just
want
to go.
It's a very good vibe
there. Hmm. So Vishnu, my question to you is, when you all have started a new firm, right? There's a certain sense of vulnerability that comes with it, that, you know, some people like the design, and, you know, at every stage there's scope of, you know, problems and blunders happening.
Mm-hmm.
So on site, Vishnu, what do you have any like cool stories to tell of any kind of these crazy blunders that happened?
I've been working with all the best vendors till now. I've been getting in touch with the vendors with the previous firms.
Hmm.
So having that trust is one thing.
Hmm.
And getting to tell the client that the clients also say, sometimes tell us that we do have our own vendors. Do you want to work with them or not?
Yeah.
So we obviously have that open mind that the clients want to give in their own vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So to get their work done properly. So we obviously pitch in our vendors and their vendors as well.
Acha.
So that is where we get the trust of the client that the things are going to go in a proper way. Or we do take 2 vendors from the clients and get in 4 vendors by ourselves.
Acha.
To get that harmony at the site, to get the whole thing sorted.
Hmm.
So that is where everything goes perfect.
Hmm.
Sometimes you have to do that to control the budget of
the budget,
yeah.
Everything. So there are small, really small ways how you get these things done properly.
Hmm.
You know, because getting in our vendors, it sometimes becomes important because obviously we are young. We are also learning.
Yeah.
Sometimes the clients, when vendors won't tell you what mistakes you're making, but your vendors will
always
guide you.
Point
always.
Mm.
Always.
Guide you. Because most of our learning is from our vendors and contractors.
Mm.
So that's when that's how we control the
execution
part of it. If you're making a mistake, and we know that our vendors will tell us what mistakes you're making, how to correct it and go about it, and then
I mean, I would still
it
say
comes,
that we are
all
still
comes in harmony.
We are still a 3-year experienced company, and the vendors are like having an experience of around 20 to 25 years, maybe 30 years.
Yeah.
So you can never be
difference. Of course it does.
You can never be right in front of them and they tell you that you are wrong at this point. I mean, yes, okay, I'm wrong. How am I wrong? Just tell me that.
And sometimes your vendors are also very comfortable in the kind of work they are doing. So when you design something unique, they sort of hesitate. Then no, we can't do this. You also have to push your vendor that we can do it. Let's just do it and have fun with it. So, you know, that also happens. That's so we all grow together. It's a field where you all grow together. You will do better when...
I remember, like making really good things like the chandelier part and the metal guy coming up to me and saying, भैया आज तक मैंने ऐसे चैंडलर नहीं बनाया मैंने मेटल वर्किंग का लेट मी क्लिक अ पिक्चर ऑफ इट एंड लाइक व्हाइल आई एम इंस्टॉलिंग द होल चैंडलर ही इज लाइक कीप टेकिंग पिक्चर्स ऑफ इट वाओ आई हैव नेवर मेड दिस स्टफ आई एम गोना शो इट टू माय क्लाइंट एंड आई हैव मोर वर्क बिकॉज़ ऑफ इट आई विल मेक समथिंग सिमिलर बिकॉज़ नाउ आई नो हाउ यू हैव डन इट
दैट्स क्रेजी दे आल्सो गेट सो हैप्पी बिकॉज़ दैट आल्सो ब्रॉडन्स देयर होराइज़न अ लॉट मोर
यस
यू नो एंड इट हेल्प्स एंड यू नो आवर फील्ड सॉर्ट ऑफ हैज बिकम वेरी कॉम्पिटिटिव.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't think it should be that way. It sort of gets unhealthy at some point. Because we all are architects, we all are going to go out in the market, we all are going to go do things. And, but, you know, it's sort of become that. So you have to have a very healthy sort of an environment and create that. It's so important and it's not going in that direction right now.
Yours is like the first story I've heard where, you know, everyone is seems to be happy on site. You know?
we have had really difficult times.
We've had fights, like very crazy
fights
with our vendors on site also. But then it all
but
goes.
All in all,
it's like a matter of time.
The
it's
underlying
like
vibe is, you know, of collaboration and, you know, working together and growing together, which I think is great. So, I mean, what I was trying to ask before was that, sure, you all just jumped into the thing and, you know, with your first project and all. But how did you deal with the idea that, okay, fine, now nobody's going to be there to take the onus of this thing. It's on the three of us. We will be responsible. Did you have, what kind of thoughts did you have?
It was scary. We were on the site all night sometimes.
I remember the last night when it had to, they had to have their puja. And we literally had to finish up the site. Because
and we actually experimented a lot with
on the
new,
last 2-3 days.
With new materials and all on that project.
For the first time, yes.
It was
not knowing
it was
that,
a boutique.
Yes. I mean, there had been materials which had to be cured for 15 days. And we had just like put the material 5 days ago. It had to be opened. I was like, what should we do now?
We've learned a lot from
So we've learned from all these kind of things.
We were scared. That's why we were there till I think 3 a.m.,
but
4 a.m. in the night.
I also
we
think
just,
that if you were like...
We didn't want
anxiety was keeping you at sight. And that's how you made sure the things
were
working
But I think we
out.
Were like that even on the airport.
We were, but
when
then this was
our
first project, our own project, where
mm.
you, like you said, that no one was like there to take responsibility.
Yeah.
We were the only ones who were responsible for it. So that time, that was the most scary part.
It worked out well.
I think the only thing that really worked out well was like we had to put more of our time at the site because the client felt safe that at least these people are over here. And we felt that confidence in ourselves that the client is believing in us. We are at the site doing everything that we could do. And obviously like we like first thing is to be positive. We had this positivity in ourselves that we could really do it. That is one thing we really had to have in ourselves. Then making sure that client is happy, giving it that time to them. And then the things came eventually well.
And just because you're scared, you...
I mean,
you
also the stars match somewhere.
Just because you're scared, you shouldn't restrict yourself from doing new things. This goes for everybody else.
Yes.
You have to experiment. You cannot be scared. Especially if you're scared, you'll never come up with something new. So you have to experiment. You learn from your mistakes. And then there are clients who are very good to you. They understand you're young. You're experimenting.
And there are mistakes which can happen.
They want you to experiment. We've got clients who say that, okay, I am giving you full freedom. Do it.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Most of our clients. At least 70% of
them.
They
at least understood what we really wanted to do. And they've like given us like full freedom.
But that only happens when you show them you are confident.
Yes.
About
And that is when
they
actually show potential.
They're like, we are confident. Then they're like, okay, do it.
Do it.
You have to be confident. If you doubt yourself, then there's it will never happen.
That's true.
I mean,
that's
you really need to win their trust.
Yeah.
I think they can see it in your eyes.
It's been like poles apart.
I
if someone trusts you, they trust you. If they don't, they will
never
trust you.
You will keep having reasons. You will be giving them really good reasons to trust yourself. And if they really don't want to, they won't.
Yeah.
For us, the projects have always gone very well till it comes to the payment.
Yes.
In the end, they don't give us the money and then we are so sore about it. And we're like, kyun karange?
Not all.
So who is the
only then it happens.
So who extracts the money out of the clients out of the three?
Well, everyone has their own different ways of extracting ways.
So where
does
it there
are three
ways.
Levels.
Ha, three, what are the
levels? There are three levels.
First level is samiksha.
First level.
No, actually, during the project.
So let's
mostly,
not let's not tell the ways of I don't want my clients to listen to this podcast. Otherwise they'll be like, oh, when is Vishnu coming in now? Oh, he's the worst part. He'll be coming very soon. So make sure I have those talks.
Yeah, I'm getting notes like messages from Vishnu Matlab. Garbar.
We two take different projects as well. Like,
oh, okay.
Obviously, like, if she designs, I execute, she looks into the details. But we also
then we
take
the project among ourselves.
Then we also,
well,
like, take a responsibility for a specific project. I'll
yeah,
be handling the whole project.
Yeah.
You take the timeline. But yes, in terms of site, I am there.
Hmm.
I'm going to see everything related to that project. Okay, I'll see that your design is being executed over there. Okay, that's...
Hmm.
I mean, I be the first point of contact with the clients.
Ah, okay.
So that also helps.
That,
so if you have four or five
important.
Projects, that's
yeah.
very important.
If the client has to go to different people, they get
really... They get really frustrated.
Confused.
And, yeah, flustered
about
it. Should
be a common point of
so common
point.
Point.
Contact.
So that is
not
one reason how we handle four or five projects at the same time.
Huh.
Like one person handling one project at a time.
Yeah.
The clients know our roles.
They know.
They, when we are designing, they know their interaction is mostly with me. But you see, designing is designing bahut jaldi khatam ho jati hai, right? It happens in like 2 weeks, three weeks time. And then major part of the project time goes with them. So that's when they are there. Then if there is something going wrong or if there are any restrictions or something that they're facing on site, that's when I go in. Otherwise, I move out of that and then I go into the other project and start designing that other project. Then I'm not
Then
these guys are there.
Then you move into like,
yeah,
shift
so
into
I shift
the
myself
other.
From project to project designing. And
there's definitely like, there's always a phase when in between when all three of us are there. So
that
we review all our, you know, all our expertise and check if everything is going right.
That's the last
thing
of every project.
Everything is going in the same direction. And then, yeah, in the meetings, mostly like in the initial meetings, all of us are there so that we know what the client had to say. Because it can't be like, he said A, then it came to the other person B, then C. It can't be that.
Because even
you
if you, I mean, information changes from person to person, right? When you're communicating from one person to the other, information also gets molded and changed.
Yeah, of course.
So we have a structure of how to go about client handling also.
Wow. it's a very... I mean,
sorry,
I must say...
Sorry,
poli
nahi hai.
Koi baat nahi.
We're helping
all
people.
Yeah, believe me, it's only going to be like inexperienced students who will be listening to this. But... I mean, it sounds to me like you all have like a very, it sounds like a very well-oiled machine, you know, like, you know what to do, you know what to do, and like, you know what to do. And it's like, I think that's why the work happens so quickly. So my last question would be, what are the future plans for Studio Unorthodox? Like, what next? What is coming up now?
So we are focusing a lot on getting out there now.
Marketing.
It's very important. And now we are focusing a lot on that. We are still doing projects. We are broadening our horizons as well. So right now we don't have like anything new to share. We are doing what we are doing past 2 years.
Are you taking up some kind of special projects, like a new genre of like a new
area? We are getting back into branding. Like, we're getting into more categories now and not just interiors. We're getting back to architecture as well.
We have some plans which
we
don't want to like sort of tell right now.
We are in the pipeline.
I just told we're hiring in more people to getting like broadening the whole spectrum of the company. So yes.
Again, guys, they're hiring.
Not hiring, it's just a surprise.
Yeah.
With a surprise.
Yeah, yeah. Surprise.
Yeah, it's a good surprise and we are very excited about it. But yes, it's still
in the pipeline.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Thank you so much for coming over. It's been a great, great, I don't know, 1, 2, how many hours you've been talking for. But definitely, I mean, listening to this firsthand, I feel very grateful that, you know, I mean, this is like a very unique setting. I have never seen it before and it seems to be working out beautifully. So thank you so much, all of you, for coming on in and sharing your story with us.
Thank you so
it
much for
so
calling
much.
Us.
Yeah,
really.
It was
and
a pleasure.
It was fun.
It was fun, yeah.
Any parting message?
Believing in us that we could be part of your podcast.
I think I'm like coming right behind you all. Like, you guys have like 2.5 years of experience and I'm also kind of, you know, running. I'm also there. Just starting off my thing. So, yeah, I mean,
I think it's a great thing that you've done. It's a great platform. This is very required right now. And
Yeah.
I can see my siblings and my younger sister is struggling so much with all of this. It's going to help so many people out there.
Suno.
If this would have been there while I was trying to get into architecture, it would have helped me so much more.
Of course.
Thank you.
Of course.
So reassuring.
it's really good, yeah. Because everybody comes from, you know, it's there in this field that when you have an architecture background in the family, it's things are very easy for you.
It's very different also, I think. It's very helpful.
It's very helpful.
Because you have first-hand guidance.
Yeah. And I think we all are first architects in our family.
Yeah.
Three of us. Nobody in our family is in any
architecture.
One in the whole extended family also.
No one,
an architect.
Not even
for
me.
Or maybe
not
a,
even
maybe
a contractor, builder, nothing. Not even clothes.
Yeah, I asked someone else for, like, can you do this carpentry or do this service for me in the project? Yeah. There's no one.
No one.
Far off.
Yeah.
That's why we are very proud of it.
That's
very
proud, yeah.
You should be. I mean, you guys have come a really long way.
We have a long way to go. We have a vision that we haven't achieved till now. Even the vision we had when we were starting the company, we are still trying to achieve that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But whatever we've struggled and we've done, we've made mistakes. We've made our mistakes.
We have
our mistakes.
What we have done.
We're happy about it. We don't owe anything.
We're happy about whatever we have done. We're happy about what we are doing right now. Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Best of luck to us.
Everybody out there.
And to everyone out there. And to all our
best wishes, everybody. I think Vishnu, you're in that mode, right? No, shaadi ke card mile.
RSVP. Yes, I am that mode. My brother is getting married soon. In a week.
And you're pretty, like, into that language. Ki best wishes, dear.
Stars are with us.
Chalo, great. All right. Thank you so much for listening, guys. We're going to come up with a great new episode with more exciting stories next week. Keep listening. Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.